This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to The Playlist Podcast, a weekly discussion of films and TV. I'm your host, Charles Barfield, Managing Editor of The Playlist. In this episode, Mike D'Angelo and I recently sat down and spoke with Stefano Salima, the director of the upcoming Amazon action film, Without Remorse. For those unaware, Without Remorse is the latest Tom Clancy novel-turned-film and tells the story of John Kelly, played by Michael B. Jordan, a Navy SEAL that finds himself on a quest for revenge after the Russians ambush his team and someone very close to him dies. The film is the first in what Amazon is hoping will be a new franchise, with Jordan's character eventually going on to star in a film version of the popular novel and video game series Rainbow Six. In this interview, we speak with Salima, who is probably best known as the director of Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado, about his work on Without Remorse, why he prefers realistic action to John Wick-style gun-fu, and the possibility of a greater Amazon Tom Clancy-verse with a potential John Krasinski appearance down the line. But before I play the interview, I got to tell you that the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes Be Real, The Fourth Wall, Defocus, and more. And if you want to find us, you can check your podcast app of choice, whether that's Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, or anywhere else you find your favorite shows. Also, recently, The Playlist Podcast released a couple of episodes on YouTube in all their video glory. In those episodes, we discussed The Falcon and the Winter Soldier and interview the series director, Kari Skoglund. If you want to watch us discuss things instead of just listening to us discuss things, you can do so now on YouTube on the Playlist channel. However, in the meantime, stick around and hear our interview with Stefano Salima. Enjoy. So I would like to thank Stefano Salima for joining us on the Playlist podcast. Talk about Without Remorse.
Ciao. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So, okay, I'm going to start with a little bit of a strange question for you. My wife and I were watching this movie, and we've seen a ton of action movies over the years, right? We're totally used to seeing blood. We're used to seeing body parts fly, all that jazz. But early in this movie, there's a scene where a guy gets hit by a van, and it made us jump out of our seats, and we're like startled at just how raw it looked. What do you think it is about like watching somebody get hit by a van in a way like that, that makes it almost more brutal than like a gunshot?
Yeah, I know. But I put that scene in that moment exactly for that reason. So to have you jump on your couch. And then, of course, I'm not kidding. It's like it's the moment where literally you are snapped. And then you understand that the movie is going to turn into something that is really serious and, in a way, dark. And then I felt it was cool to start from, the normality of him being home, and then he go out and then he's been hit without any cut.
Yeah. I think the brutal part is that you don't just like do a quick cut after that impact. It's like you sit there for a second and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah. Same thing happened with my wife and I. We both watched it together too. And also, if you've seen the trailer for this film, it's clear there's kind of a tragedy that gets the plot of the film really moving, involving Michael B. Jordan's, the wife of his character. And we've seen this sort of plot device used in action films before, but you make sure to kind of show the actual incident almost off camera or obscured. I'm curious, was this a conscious decision because of either how gut-wrenching it could have been, or because this is kind of like a touchy kind of character beat, or how much was this debated in the making of the film?
No, it wasn't debated at all, mm-hmm. But because the entire idea behind the movie was to experience the journey of John Kelly in his development into John Clark, trying to adopt his point of view. We never change point of view a lot in the movie. And so that way you create, and we create, a sort of more intimate experience. Because then everything happened through his eyes. So it was more important to, I mean, I use just tiny bit that you understand what is gonna eventually happen, because it was more important to not to keep the surprise, because it's not correct, but to have more from Michael's reaction when he goes to the bed. So the entire movie and also the action is designed to be watched through his point of view.
Yeah, and speaking of the action, the situation you're describing with his wife and through the action through the rest of the movie, it's brutal and intense and real, but it's also very tactical and precise. This is like a stark contrast to action movies we see a lot of times, where you have like a John Wick who's doing, they're almost like dances. There are these elaborate dances where he's knife juggling and, you know, doing all this kung fu and flipping around. When John Kelly, on the other hand, he gets in, he shoots first, doesn't waste movements, gets out. Was that something where it was like, did you ever think like, man, I'd really like to do one of those flashy John Wick-esque moments? Or were you like, that's just not true to the story?
You know what? I mean, it's like, it's not that I don't like the action. I don't like the action when it's for itself. I don't like when the action is detached from the reality. I don't like superheroes. I like heroes. So a human being that is pushed over his limit. So I think that it's like, and reality, I feel it's much more interesting than fiction. So I study a lot, and then I feel you can do and create a big fighting sequence without doing a crazy choreography, but you can have Michael B. Jordan fighting through the stairs in a row with two different guys without stopping. So when he gets out, he's out of breath for real. And he's climbing, not because he's acting, because he was a little bit wounded. So I kind of like when the action tells something about the character you want to explore. So it's more interesting to see his reaction to an action, how the action changed him. And this I feel it's much more interesting than doing crazy stuff. I think it's a question of taste. I like when the action is grounded and is more as it is for real. The van sequence that you were mentioning, it's like why you were scared, because you recognize it's real, and this is how it's happened. You are doing something, and then boom, you die. I feel that it's more it's another way to approach the fighting, the action, the choreography.
Is that why you also? I know that the actors, you ask a lot of them to do their stunts or as much as possible. Is it to preserve that sort of realism?
But also to help them. I mean, it changed completely, because it's like you create a sort of intimate relation between the actor and the action is immersed. And then, of course, if you use your actor, you need to shoot the movie almost practically. So I'm trying to avoid as much as possible the effects. So that way, of course, it's much more complex, but helps the actor in deliver their performance, because it's like Michael was really in an airplane that was really rotating, submerged with water. So it's like, I think it's an help to also for actors to deliver their performance. Of course, on the other hand, you need to prep the movie in a complete different way, because this is not something you can improvise. You need to have them training, you need to create all the choreography, trying to be sure that they're going to be safe, that it's like it's a process. But I'm never judging, because I kind of like also movies that are more with the fantasy where you're not, but I don't, I personally don't like it. I like when they are grounded and real.
Speaking of the action and the spectacle, Without Remorse was originally set to be distributed by Paramount, but last year, early in the pandemic, Amazon bought it, and you know, obviously it's coming to the Prime streaming service now. So were you concerned about, you know, this big budget action film getting sent to a streaming service without, you know, theatrical release, or how are you feeling about this?
Of course, at the beginning, I was not upset. I was sad because the movie is conceived, or the length from everything in the movie, it's conceived to be a theatrical experience. Saying that, we are living and we did the entire post-production during the pandemic. So we were during the pandemic, we were still working. It's a so big tragedy, but even for our industry that is suffering as never probably before, that I'm happy now to be released through Amazon, because it's like it's like to make peace, we say in Italian. I don't know if it makes sense in English. So to, okay, this Without Remorse, it's a son of our times. But the good is that it's like in this moment when people is stuck home, bored and scared by this creepy atmosphere we have around, I think it's kind of cool to for them to have this sort of gift, a movie that is designed just to be watched in a movie theater, so that has a big scope, that you can watch it with your kids, with your love, while you eat popcorn, and then eventually you can send text with your friend trying to recreate the atmosphere we have in a movie theater. So I think it's just it's simply what it is, and we cannot do too much to change it, and we need to take the good part of it, the wider and broader distribution that we are going, and the support and the love that they put on the movie.
Yeah, that's very true. It's not a bad thing to have Amazon backing your movie, that's for sure.
No, they are supporting the movie, and they did a lot for the movie. So, I mean, it's like once you come back from the shock, they say, what? Really? But at the end of it, I mean, I'm pretty happy of everything that's happening. At the point that I cannot imagine us releasing the movie outside in the movie theater, but I've watched the movie on the movie theater, so I know that I can split the difference.
Yeah. I have a pretty good home setup, but after seeing it even at home, I would really enjoy, I think, that big screen experience with the sounds and everything. But one of the names that appears in the credits of the movie that's probably going to get fans of our podcast and our website excited is Taylor Sheridan. You worked with him previously on the Sicario sequel. And
I know,
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you worked with him on Day of the Soldado, and he showed up, I think, pretty late in the development of this movie to do some rewrites. So I'm curious if what he brought to the movie specifically, because he does have his own distinct style of story he likes to tell.
Absolutely. But we came more or less at the same moment, meaning that when I came in to the project, there was a screenplay written by Sean Ryan, the creator of The Shield, and was written in the early 90s. So we didn't want to make a period movie. So in my pitch to Paramount and to my goal was, let's modernize it. Let's do the movie today. And then, of course, my first choice was to ask Taylor to join, because I already worked with him. I love him as a writer, and then I felt that he was the perfect person to help me in adapt and to modernize a challenging book, because of course you, it's Tom Clancy. You cannot mess around. You need to modernize it, trying to be respectful on the original source and on the on Tom Clancy's approach in the storytelling. And I wanted to make an entertaining, character-driven movie. And Taylor is perfect. I mean, he pays a lot of attention on the psychology of the character. He has an incredible ear for them, for dialogues. And so I was sure that he was, so I pitched his name to Paramount and Michael, and they were like, whoa, yes, sure.
Yeah, yeah, he would say no to that. Saying,
yeah. No, yeah. And we did together. And then it was also easier in a way because we already had a relationship through another movie. So he already know me and vice versa.
Yeah. And so, for a lot of people who sit down and watch this movie, they're going to expect like this big action movie led by Michael B. Jordan that takes place in that Tom Clancy world. And this film definitely has those elements, but the actor that stood out for me and was like shocking was, as soon as he unmasked himself, I'm like, is that Brett Gelman? Without getting into spoilers, I have to ask how he got involved, specifically because Brett Gelman is known for comedy. Was this like, yeah, how did he get involved in this role?
I casted him just because I like him. He's and great. Then I felt it was a sort of kind of an unpredictable choice.
Yeah.
Somehow could be interesting. And then he did a wonderful job.
Yeah, no, he does. And again, we can't get into too many spoilers, obviously, but his role is pretty pivotal in the movie. And yeah, when you see him and he has one scene in particular where you're like sold that Brett Gelman is not just funny guy. He's a serious actor. So, yeah.
Absolutely agree with you. He did a really great job.
Yeah, he did. So I read that you began your career as a cameraman for news organizations and you were kind of out in the field a lot, you know, seeing some bad stuff, I assume. I'm wondering if you could speak to maybe how that experience has influenced, you know, you've done like Sicario now, you did 000, you've done now Without Remorse. Has that experience seeing real life stuff affected how you shoot these movies and TV shows?
Yeah, probably yes. And most of all, how I approach them. Because for a reporter, it's really important to report what you are living, what you are seeing, without dirty it with your point of view, with your moral judgment. That of course you are a human being. When you are in during a war or a crazy situation, you're going to emotionally react to it. But this emotion, you need to force to have a sort of step back and to just describe what's happening. So real, trying to be accurate, honest, in good faith, and not judging anything you're watching. That's the goal for a reporter. And this is more or less what I do in the movie making. I'm not afraid to go in different worlds. I want to study them, so I respect a new world that when I approach to a movie, to me, it's a new world. I need to know everything about, like a journalist does. I need to speak, in this case, with a soldier, with people in Washington, with politicians. I need to understand how they move, how they speak, so how it works. And then, storytelling wise is the same. I never judge my character. I try always to create a character that it has all the contradiction and the complexity of a real human being without judging him. My goal is to get to the point where you understand the point of view of everybody involved in the movie, even the villain. That's my goal. And in the case of Without Remorse, without doing the spoiler, it's the same. You get there and you say, okay, yeah, it makes sense what you did. And then I think this comes from that experience. So that it's like you try not to take the audience with hand and say, oh, I want to explain you my point of view. It's more to, I'm going to put together some pieces and you're going to judge. It's the honor to express a moral opinion on, it's yours.
Mm-hmm. And it's no secret that Amazon is looking for this to become kind of a larger franchise, or as we're calling it, the Clancyverse over here. Having already greenlit like a Rainbow Six film, how did you approach knowing that, you know, this was kind of an episode one of the franchise? Was that something that you had in your head, or anything that was in mind for the, from the beginning?
No, I mean, we knew it from the beginning, because Without Remorse is the book. Without Remorse is the origin story for John Clark, or better, John Kelly, how he evolves in John Clark, that drives to the second book he wrote, Tom Clancy, that is Rainbow Six. So we already knew that this was the natural evolution of the story. But of course, I think we should wait a second.
Of course.
The end of April.
Yeah. So again, without spoilers, just one quick thing. We would be remiss if we didn't ask this. Jack Ryan is obviously the character everybody mentions when they think Tom Clancy, from the movies at least. He plays a pivotal role in Rainbow Six, without, you know, spoiling anything for 30-year-old books. But what do you think about Jack Ryan possibly showing up in the future? Is that something you're thinking? And you know, you have Amazon's Jack Ryan right there. You could pull John Krasinski and be like, all right, you're in.
I don't know. We haven't really spoke yet about it. I think that could be an eventuality. It could be also cool, even though we designed and we developed the project to be in his own universe, in the Tom Clancy's one, but who knows, could be in the future.
Great. So yeah, we have to wrap up, like I said, but I want to, again, thank you, Stefano Salima, for joining us on the Playlist podcast to talk about Without Remorse. It's a fun movie, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you to you.